Well, good morning. I thank you for having me here again today. Last week couldn't have been too bad since I'm here. So I just thank Mark Winter as well for allowing me to, have 2 weeks. It's highly unusual when a pastor's gone for a couple week vacation that they have the same person speaking. So I really appreciate that. Before I get started, I just would like to, let you know that when you're dealing with a topic like we're going to be dealing with today, and you get a whole 30 minutes, you're not even scratching the surface. You need to know that. And so some of you, as in the first service, will probably leave here a little frustrated. What I mean by that is, you're going to be going, we really need to hear more. So, I want to encourage you with this before we even get started. I encourage you, after this message, if your interest is very well piqued with what's going on, then you need to do digging. You need to go research. You need to take responsibility and learn and grow and become mature and complete. Not lacking anything. So part of that, I just want to encourage you to obviously go on the internet. We have a lot of resources at our website, worldviewwarriors.org. Worldviewwarriors.org. You can find a ton of resources there through our blog posts and radio programs. Again, I am going to be barely even scratching the surface today. And let's get started with a word of prayer. Lord God, I want to thank you so much that you are the King of the universe, that you are Almighty God, that you are the one that established governments, that you are the one that gives us the gift of life. I pray, God, that you would help each person in here, including myself, to always remember we are breathing because of you. Our hearts are beating because of you. As followers of Jesus Christ, it is up to us to hear your voice and obey and to share the awesome message of the good news of Jesus Christ, not just through words, but our actions as well. And I pray, God, as we focus in on this amazing country, amazing nation that you've not only given to us, but truly the world, that we have a great responsibility. And that you have entrusted that to us. I pray each one of us today would leave here a little more mature than when we walked through that door. And God, I'm not just talking about mentally, but mainly spiritually. I thank you for each person in here today. I ask that you'd bless us and help us to be blessings to others. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now you need to know this is for the Hebrew people. This is for Israel. Except, we can also read this, and it says, if my people. You see, when we take a look at things, God wanted to work in and through Israel to bring him to the world. And Israel did an okay job. However, Jesus came and said, this is a free gift to everybody. Israel was supposed to be telling us the whole time about this. Well, friends, Christians, if you follow Jesus, then this is for you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you were here last week, you know, in Romans 13, it's clearly laid out that God establishes those government authorities that are in place. And if you were also here last week, hopefully you heard something new or something that just built up more of what you know is the truth, that in the United States of America, we the people are the governing authorities. That those who are elected to represent we the people truly are the subjects and servants in this nation. They work within a boundary. So we the people have a great responsibility placed on us. It's amazing. And it's, well, incredible that God would give us this responsibility. Today I'd like to look over some of the Founding Fathers' quotes I'd like to share with you regarding a couple, well, one phrase that we hear quite a bit, trying to help get rid of this foundation of Christianity in our nation. And I'm also going to take some time and, well, share with you about, well, our first war on terror. It's pretty amazing. John Adams, 1756, America's second president. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate this conduct, his conduct, by the precepts they're exhibited. What a paradise would this region be? George Washington. We all know him. While we are contending for our own liberty, we should be very cautious not to violate the rights of conscience in others. Ever considering that God alone is the judge of the hearts of men, and to him only in this case are they answerable. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You see, those three things, if you, well, reverse them, and let's take the pursuit of happiness first, and you allow people to pursue their happiness and to do what they want to do, whatever that is. Thomas Jefferson wanted to write Pursuit of Property, but he just felt it didn't get it all. See, by allowing people to go against God and live their ways, whatever they want to do, they can pursue happiness up until the point that they start taking away liberty from others. Once that starts to happen, they're wrong. It's really easy to figure out. Let's say you own a piece of property and somebody starts moving your boundary line and saying, well, I own another 10 feet and you really don't own that. They're wrong. There's no maybe on that. You see, you can allow people to live their lives, pursue happiness. You want to go and smoke illicit drugs and shoot up and drink alcohol until you are blithering drunk. You want to smoke 80 packs of cigarettes a day. You go ahead and do that. But there is a consequence to your actions, and you are responsible for those actions. You are also responsible for the consequences that may come. Don't think that now you are right and have, well, the right to make someone else pay for the consequence you are receiving and step on their liberty. You must pay the price. However, as followers in Jesus, should we help those people? Absolutely. However, help for you might be different from me. And that's okay. Why is it okay? Because you might have a relationship with that person. And you know what's going on and you know how to help them, actually. I may not know them at all. And maybe God says to me, you know what, take them out for a meal and they need help that way. They just need a good friend to listen to. But you who have a relationship with them, maybe you know that you've taken them out for a meal 50 times and you've done all this stuff to help them and you know because you have a relationship with them that they need to fall even more in order to learn. You see, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You pursue happiness however you want until you step on the liberty of others. Once you step on that liberty, you are wrong. And here's, well, for me, the crux. Life. While living out your liberty, if you choose to take the life of another, you are wrong. This is why, well, the debate on abortion is beyond settled for me. Beyond settled. Because once you decide to take the life of another human being, you are now trampling not only on their life, but their liberty and their pursuit of happiness. Let's move on. Patrick Henry, in his last will and testament, November 20th, 1798. This is all the inheritance I give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will give them one which will make them rich indeed. If you can't tell, this whole subject makes me very passionate. I love it. I don't worship these men, but they were wise. There's much to learn. And what about this phrase, separation of church and state? We hear it all the time, a wall of separation of church and state. There is a wall of separation in church and state between religion and the government, between religion and public life, but whatever. Before we get to that, I'd like to share something else with you, actually, that I want you to know. We are going to get to that. There's a treaty in our nation's history titled the Treaty of Tripoli. If you do your research, friends, you will find that the founders did not hold back in their attempts to Christianize the Native Americans. They printed Bibles with tax money and even hold church services in government buildings. They did this. Friends, for much of this message, I'll be sharing with you from a blog post from one of our bloggers, Steve Reisner. Because I think he summarizes this situation up perfectly with the Treaty of Tripoli. You see, Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, negotiated this Treaty of Tripoli. What is it and what did it do? Why did we need it? Well, for nearly two decades, shortly after the American Revolution, by the way, we had no navy to speak of. Our cargo ships headed into the Mediterranean and surrounding areas and had little to no defensive capabilities whatsoever. The Muslim nations in the area saw this and began to actually capture these ships. They would take the cargo as their own. And they'd enslave the soldiers that were on board. Enslaving them. There were a number of treaties written in this time period with several different Muslim nations. Jefferson, by the way, who signed into law many acts that funded the Christianity going to the Native Americans, including even sending missionaries, building and staffing churches, and again, printing Bibles, was the American primary responsible for writing this treaty. So friends, knowing how Jefferson felt about Christianity, the Bible in our nation, to me, it does seem likely that Jefferson, well, would he have written it in a way saying, we were not a Christian nation, or we are a Christian nation? Many people believe that Thomas Jefferson wasn't a Christian. A lot of it has to do with what they call the Jefferson Bible. There are parts of the Bible he cut out and scratched out. Personally, I believe he was just mad at the church. If you dig into the history of his life and what took place, it's almost as if he, well, in our terms today, got kind of shafted. And so, I don't know if he knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is fruit in his life that make me think he did. But I will say this. I'm not the judge, and neither are you. He's going to stand in front of God one day, and then we'll all find out the truth. What is often quoted in the Treaty of Tripoli by these who hold that we are not a Christian nation is this, quote, the government of the United States is in no sense founded on the Christian religion, end quote. Well, slam dunk, right? It says it right there. Seems pretty straightforward. But the trouble is this. This is a very short part of a very long sentence. What this is classic quote mining. Is anybody, I did this in first service because I hadn't planned this, but would somebody turn your Bible to Psalm 14? Psalm 14. And when you get to it, just stand up and please read the very first verse. There's no cookie in it or anything, but there's a bunch out there. So, does anybody have it yet? Oh, we got two. Great. All right, we'll go right here. So Psalm 14, verse 1, what's it say?
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good.
Okay. So, you heard it yourself. The Bible's really clear. There is no God. The Bible said that. So the Bible must be right. There is no God, right? That is not what it says. It says, what? The fool in his heart says there is no God. That's quote mining. You see, the Bible says there's no God. By the way, and if you're an atheist, I love you, okay? I used to be one myself. However, again, after digging and researching and just taking everything I saw into play, even this right here, what I'm about to do, this is an incredible machine. I can grab this, I can do this. If you see this and you still say there is no God, I'm not saying it, King David is, you're a fool. We see incredible machines out there. This is one of them. God made this. So let's see how this is quote mined in the Treaty of Tripoli. Again, this sentence in question is literally over four times longer than that little snippet. Again, it says, the government of the United States is in no sense founded on the Christian religion. Well, the entire quote actually reads this. As the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims, and as the said states have never entered into any war or act of hostility against any Muslim nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between two countries. Now, some of you are going, my gosh, that was really long. I missed some of that. Okay. Friends, in essence, what this is saying in the treaty is basically saying, look, we have no war against you. I'm going to dig into this of how we're different from other Christian nations of the time. You see, this was literally America's first war on terror. Literally. And also, quite literally, our first war as a sovereign nation. Friends, you need to think it through and really understand what took place. When our nation became a nation, it wasn't all peaches and cream. It wasn't just, oh, all right, we're a nation. We had to figure out, how do we protect ourselves? How do these things happen? What, you know, how are we going to make some money? There's a lot going on. The European Christian nations, you see, they battled against the Muslims for a long time. Long time. It was a war between Christians and Muslims. The Muslim nations in question, you see, they saw America as another Christian nation. Just exactly like all the rest. But we see in this quote from Jefferson, he said, we're not at war with the Muslims. In effect, he was saying, we respect them and their religion and respect their right to be Muslims if they so choose. He states clearly, and this is really easy to miss, that the government of the United States is not a Christian government. He was simply saying, Christian America is not interested in being at war with Muslims, just because they're Muslims. However, Jefferson was commander-in-chief over the first military action that we took as a sovereign nation. You see, this was the U.S. Navy sending troops to Tripoli to stop the piracy and the injustice that was going on over there. And it happened regularly. You need to know that. In fact, it was even costing us nearly 20% of the federal government's annual budget. You ever wonder why the U.S. Marines hymn contains the phrase, the shores of Tripoli? And the shores of Tripoli. This encounter is exactly why it's there. It's not just some fun song. You see, the circumstances of the conflicts in question strongly support that we actually are a Christian nation. The attacks on our ships were because we were a Christian nation. That's why they were attacking us, because they saw us as a Christian nation. Specifically, and because other nations alleged to be Christians attacked Muslims regularly over the years. Jefferson's words that we've quoted here were his attempt to separate our Christian nation and a nation that recognizes the religion of Islam and respects their right to practice it. from the Christian nations of Europe. You see, they'd engage in warfare with these Muslims simply because they were Muslims. Other portions of this treaty as well, well as others, you see, for the same purpose, essentially said this: we're not like the Christian nations you've had trouble with in the past. We're a Christian nation that is okay with you being Muslim in your countries all you want. We just want to buy and sell goods with you. That's in essence what was going on. So what about this phrase, a wall of separation in church, of church and state? Do you know that this phrase, well, I'll start here. This phrase, is it up there yet? This phrase, so many people think that this is the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, that it's in there. What really is to me disturbing is how many lawyers think this is in the U.S. Constitution. I hope you heard that. Lawyers become judges. It's a serious problem. Friends, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So, that means we can practice our religion pretty much however we want, as long as we're not hurting somebody. In public, there's no prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I'm a big believer in the cream rising to the top, the truth rising to the top. And this is where the struggle is going to come in. What do we do with people that aren't Christians? Can they practice as well? Or are we going to lock them down and prohibit their free exercise? Now that's a struggle, I know. Something I'd really like you to wrestle with. You see, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says nothing of a wall of separation, which is the phrase that is so often quoted. Again, Jefferson is the man responsible for this quote. Boy, did he make a lot of trouble. You see, in a personal letter to the Danbury Baptist Church, he wrote what I'm about to share with you. See, the Danbury Baptist Church was struggling with some things that were going on within the federal government. And it seemed as if the federal government was going to establish a certain denomination as the Church of the United States of America. So they wrote him a letter saying, what's going on here? And he tells them, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Thus, building a wall of separation between church and state. Friends, he's simply stating that the church, that the church he was writing to, as well as every other denomination, need not fear the government that they would declare an official state religion. That's it. It's not saying, oh, there's a wall of separation of church and state, so Christians can't be in the government. That is not what he was saying. This is something that, well, we'd broken free from. You see, when we went against England, they had a state church. This is why they were so concerned. Like, are we going back to that? Did all these people die and now we're just going to go back to that? He was letting them know, no, we are free. The U.S. government cannot interfere with your right to express your religious conviction, again, unless you're harming someone else. It in no way means the government must sever all religious ties from itself. Not at all. Let's take a look at some presidents, U.S. presidents, when they took the oath of office. Teddy Roosevelt, 1905. By the way, Teddy Roosevelt, I think, was an amazing person. Just, let's just call it the way it is, a spitfire. I mean, the guy got shot and then still gave him one of his talks with a bullet in him. Kind of a go-getter. James 1, 22 through 23 is what he placed his hand on when he took the oath of office. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Kind of fit. General Ford, 1974. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Harry S. Truman, 1949. Matthew 5 and Exodus 20. Matthew 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And Exodus 20 states this, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, before I share with you the next one, by the way, it's Galatians 6, 8. I'd like to share with you this text, and then we'll put up who swore on this, their first term in office. I'm not going to give you the year because I don't want you to figure out who it is yet. Galatians 6, 8 says this, for that he soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. For those of you going, I don't know what that means. Okay, it means if you want to go do whatever you want to do, go against God's word, get ready to reap terrible things. If you want to follow God and his word and you're sowing into that, then get ready for blessings, in essence. So let's find out who swore on this in 1993. Now, you need to know, I'm not up here trying to bash him. I highly respect the presidential office. No matter who's in there, we need to respect the office. No matter what. But when you read that and see that this took place, if that doesn't hit you between the eyes, I don't know. President Andrew Jackson, he rightly said this, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. How could the foundation of our nation, as claimed by numerous founders, be intentionally excluded from every part of the functioning of the government? I mean, think about that. Look at all the things the founders did using federal tax money. I've already alluded to some of it. Look at the Supreme Court building. Friends, there's obvious scriptural references all over it, as well as the Library of Congress, and even the Capitol. Monuments are littered with Bible references. The National Archives note how our laws are based on the Bible. Look at the fact that Congress opens with prayer. How about the fact that even our money says, "In God we trust"? I mean, where does that come from? Our national anthem contains this verse. "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Friends, even in the star-spangled banner, it declares our Christian heritage, stating that we are a land rescued by heaven, and references of praising the power. Who is that power? Almighty God. Praising the power that made and preserves our nation. And again, there's the obvious reference to "in God is our trust." Like I said, I'm barely going to be able to scratch the surface today. Quite honestly, I hope that you have your interest piqued and that you actually will go and study, even if you can't stand history. Friends, if we forget the past, well, we're doomed. Just being honest. We can't think, "Oh, well, we've moved on from that." We need to understand the past in order to move forward in the future. As I finish up, I had the story regarding our first war on terror, if you will, in here, because we need to remember that our freedom isn't free. It isn't. And so what I'd like to do is, if there's anyone who's served in our military, I'd ask that you please stand so we can just thank you. That's not the point of 4th of July and Independence Day, but I think it's important that you remember. So if you have served, would you please stand, whatever war it might have been in. I'd just like to let you know, straight up, I used to be the guy who would even look at military people and say, "You're the problem. I know you're not the problem." I used to be the person that was all victim mentality. Me, 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 me. Why can't I get more? Why can't I get mine? I would have been one of those people. Why can't I get $15 an hour? But I want you to know, if you're truly willing to be educated and search for the truth, and you're willing to go wherever the truth leads you, You will find it. But the issue is, you need to make a choice of will you believe it? And will you live it? Will your actions match what you believe? Dear friends, we need to stop being hypocrites in the public square. I truly believe this is part of the reason why the world is not willing to follow Jesus. They see us here, and we're all dressed, you know, nice, and we talk nice, but when we get out into the world, man, we backbite, and they're like, why do I want to be a part of that? We need to be following God's word, and if you're having some issue with somebody in this church, or even somebody at work, you need to be willing to just man up, woman up, okay? And go, I got to talk to that person. I need to make it right with them. If you live in this country, you know it's fractured. It is. Let's just call it the way it is. If we don't start talking to our neighbors and listening to each other, it is only going to get worse, and our house will continue to be divided. Now is the time for our country to start mending back together. Now that means that some of the answers you're going to get from people, you are not going to like them. But you need to be loving, listen, and hopefully move forward. I'm not saying they're going to listen to you, though. But you got to be true to Jesus. When we do that, there's two things. Either we're going to mend up, or the end times are coming. Just being honest. And that might even be better, because then we can go to heaven. But as long as we're here, let's show the world Jesus. Well, as we close up here, before I let you go, I just want you to know I'm part of a ministry called Worldview Warriors. We're a ministry that travels all over the country. We have radio programs all over the country. We do blogging virtually every single day on the internet. You can find us at worldviewwarriors.org. You can also listen to me every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8:30 in the morning on WXML. That's 90.1 FM in Upper Sandusky. Also, tonight, you can hear me every Sunday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, for Do Not Keep Silent. We'll be continuing this kind of, well, subject tonight as well. If you're interested in praying for us, we have a little magnet for your refrigerator right down here. If you'd like to pick one up and just keep us in your prayers, I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. Also, the Treaty of Tripoli. Talked about that quite a bit today. One of our bloggers who's from Alabama, he wrote a piece entitled The Five Little Known Facts About Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli. We have a few copies up here if you'd like to get that. It's also on the internet as well at worldviewwarriors.org with our blog post too. Also, Worldview Warriors is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And with that, if God maybe would call you to support us financially, as well as your prayers, we have little cards up here too. And my family's got to eat too. And so if God might be calling you to help us to continue while giving this message out and messages like this, and if you've liked what you've heard and like, you know, we need more of this, please consider supporting us financially. I've got 6 children at home, and like I said, they need to eat too. So, one last thing. As you leave out on the welcome table, there's a little sheet of paper that looks like this. Public Law 97-280. October 4th, 1982. Joint resolution authorizing and requesting the president to proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible. So much more on this, and it was approved October 4th, 1982. Take this with you so you continue to understand just how important this is, and it's all out there. It's just a matter of, are we willing to learn it and stand up for the truth? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace and amen.